Aloha. Well, I'll get straight to the point. You may be feeling a little overwhelmed, confused, even terrified by events that are appearing in the world around us. And not just events that are appearing in the world around us, but the way you're actually feeling inside, the way your emotions and thoughts are combining within you. To generate a particular alchemy of consciousness, which is leading you to feel intensity and some disturbances in your field, maybe fear, confusion, and all of the variations on that theme. So, in this audio file, what I'd like to do is just shed a bit of light on the current global situation and the current human situation, and just put it into perhaps a different context than you're used to looking at things from. And in so doing, hopefully bringing a little peace of mind and allowing you to integrate the intensity of the times and really get the gift from it all. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, we are all part of life. And no matter the way things appear to be, we can, if we're able to surrender and trust to the degree that we are required, life's got us, and that's all there is to it. So this objective, my objective here is to bring you a sense of freedom and peace. What I'm going to ask you to do is just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. The information that I'm sharing with you is also supported by some very practical methodologies, strategies, techniques, you could call them, that basically allow us to shift this critical alchemy of consciousness, allow us to move out of the ego construct, the ego's perspective on reality, into a much deeper eternal sense of self. And we can't just do this in with the flick of our fingers. We have to do this in stages, and we also have to do this, repeat this, reconfigure our own inner landscape over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because we are riddled with old habits, old patterns, old thoughts, old beliefs, old feelings that really haven't been serving us for quite some time. We've inherited those, and they've been reinforced and conditioned into us over and over and over and over by just about everything that we've witnessed and participated in this lifetime. So there's no wonder we need to practice a little in order to liberate ourselves from these situations. So in this, what's to follow here, I'm just going to give a fairly broad overview. And we're going to get into some details here, and I'm going to go all over the place and just really get it all down here for you so you can get the crash course in enlightened understanding. So let's just go to the essence immediately. You are not who you think you are. Your sense of self, the person who's listening to this, is not who you actually are. Your senses, you can hear my voice, and your eyes, you might be looking at your computer or something, only see less than 1% of what's actually there. In fact, it's a tiny fragment of less than 1%. It's something like 0.00000000000000000000000000001%. Felt like Ali G there for a moment. It's actually, a lot less than that. So there's more to life than meets the eye. Let's put it that way. And there's more to you than you're aware of, than what you feel, than what you think, than what you believe, and certainly in what you imagine. So this is very good news. Essentially, what you are is a drop in the ocean of life. This is a spiritual truth here. You're a drop in the ocean of life. And the wonder of life is that the ocean of consciousness, which is a singularity, it's a single unified field of infinite possibility, infinite potential. It's a quantum physicist point of view there, or a transcendental meditation perspective. It's also the Taoist perspective, the ancient Chinese perspective. It's also the ancient yogic perspective. It's also Christ consciousness perspective. So it's all of these things together. All of these spiritual truths all lead to the same singular conclusion, that consciousness is a singularity, and it's like an invisible ocean of immense potential, unlimited, boundless, infinite potential. And you are a drop of that ocean, a tiny, 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 tiny little drop. And the wonder of life is that the ocean provides the opportunity for the drop to experience its own individuality. But in order to do that, consciousness, which is spirit, needs a soul. Now, the soul is just like a membrane of a bubble, you see? This tiny little bubble in the ocean of life has a membrane, and that membrane all around it is called your soul. So consciousness, which is spirit, which doesn't have any form, it's formless, boundless, and free, cannot be contained, absolutely free, perfect, innocent, whole and complete, holy. That's your spirit. It's one with the spirit of God. It's one with the spirit of life. Consciousness is a oneness, a singularity, okay? But the wonder of life is that within that ocean, the drop individuates. And in order for the ocean to experience itself as a part of itself, it needs a soul. And the soul is like a bubble, a membrane. So spirit, consciousness, projects its own light through soul. And soul, like a prism or a projector, projects that life force, that creative spirit, into the realm of creation, into the substance of creation. So all these energy particles, atoms and subatomic particles, adamantine particles, these tiny little building blocks of manifest creation of the world we perceive around us, including our physical body. The atoms form the molecules. And the molecules are the building blocks of all the cells and all the elements. And so we have a physical body in an apparently physical world. And it's all responding to consciousness. And this is the wonder of life. So your spirit, consciousness, you, who you actually are, is projecting an image through soul into a vibratory realm. And the third dimension that we are existing in this world is a relatively slow vibrating place. There are higher dimensions that vibrate a little faster. They're on a different frequency, a different wavelength, and so we can't see them with our senses. But as we become more and more awake to who we actually are, and we dissociate increasingly from the body-conscious persona, the sense of self, the I am, that says, I am this body. My name is Nick Good. And I am a man giving this discourse. Well, that's not true. That's a partial That's the ego's perspective, the perspective of my body conscious persona. What's true is that I am consciousness. I am spirit, projecting through the wonder of my own soul, and the manifestation, the projected form, the hologram in the holograph, or the holograph in the hologram, is Nick Good. And that's the instrument I, as spirit, am communicating through right now. So this is happening, whether we believe it or not, whether we're aware of it or not. And the secret to awakening is becoming conscious of this, not doing things unconsciously. When you live unconsciously, you get trapped in body consciousness, and life has to slap you around to wake you up. It's basically what happens. And that's not much fun. So life is amazing. And you're a miracle. And life's a miracle. And you are amazing. So consciousness is individuated. From the ocean, a drop has formed in a bubble called a soul. And within that bubble, there is a point of light. Just like there's a point of light within every cell of the body. The wonderful thing about living in a holographic reality is that the part is in the whole and the whole is in the part. And so the tiniest bit of life reflects the eternal nature, the eternal complexity of life. That's why when we look at the fractal holograms, and they just keep going and going and going and going and going into infinity, that proves that the eternal and the infinite is in any given, we can access it through any given point. As Nassim Harriman, the great quantum physicist, tells us, every atom has a singularity within it. That's a portal, a nexus point into the eternal, into the infinite. Of course it does. How could it be any other way? And it's the same within you. Within you, there's an epicenter within your being, a singularity, an individuated point of consciousness called a soul. And that's a doorway into your spirit. It's a nexus point. And that's where you find your center. You become centered, you become balanced, you become grounded and centered in your own sense of self by being certain about who you are. A fixed point of certainty, an epicenter of intuitive conviction. In Sanskrit, they call it nischaya. And the exercises that go with this information support you in experiencing that. So I'm going to focus on giving you some contextual information here that you can review at your leisure. But the most important thing is to practice the exercises that I recommend. They're very, very, very simple. And what they will do is they'll help liberate you from being stuck in the matrix. It's absolutely fascinating that even though the soul is projecting an image into the movie screen of life, into this virtual reality, 3D and all these other dimensions of so-called reality. The fascinating thing is that we can get stuck in this stuff. And this is why the architects of control and the proponents of the matrix, the forces of darkness, the forces of evil, are fervently working, focusing on strategies to trap consciousness in the matrix, generating fear, confusion, chaos, anger, division, polarization, opinionation, positionality. These are all strategies. Everything that reinforces your individual perspective is a positionality. Religion, politics, war, competition, teams, nationalities. We could even say sex, the different sexes. Anything that reinforces a separate sense of self is a strategy. And the more emotional charge there is, the more effective that strategy is in trapping consciousness in its belief systems, which are mostly reactions to conditioned and programmed beliefs, ideologies that we've inherited from our ancestors, from the culture that we've emerged in, and from the system, the machine that we're growing up in, being conditioned and programmed all the way through. Fascinating, fascinating times we're living in. Consciousness is being programmed very effectively through the technological revolution right now. We were sold in the 60s and 70s. Technology was marketed to us as the savior. High tech associated with high consciousness. So the higher technology, the more technological a society becomes, the more evolved and advanced it becomes in terms of evolution of consciousness. And if we look around us, we know we can see that that's absolutely not true at all. And one of the most fascinating scenarios is that, let's just take for example social media, let's say iPhones. When we're on social media, on our iPhone there, looking at all these wonderful photographs and these beautiful people, and all these inspiring quotes and videos and whatever else, what we're really looking at is a code. There's a code. There's a technological code behind that. And that code is being coded, encoded into us, into our brains, into our central nervous system. So consciousness is being encoded. We're being computerized. So everyone is being programmed through technology. That's what's happening. Nature, on the other hand, has a, let's just call it a natural code. Greg Braden wrote a book called The Divine Matrix. There is an unnatural and inorganic matrix superimposed upon an organic natural matrix. Fascinating stuff. Super high-tech hacking of human consciousness going on. Hacking, programming, conditioning. The film The Matrix gave some tremendous insight into this thing. So the war on terror, all of these the reinforcing of and polarization of different facets of our society through religion, ethnic culture, teams, national boundaries, all of this stuff, is really a war on consciousness. The matrix itself, not just the architects of control, not just the controllers and manipulators of the political system, the socio-political system, the rulers of the earth, the royal families, the elite, the ones with the 1%, they have their part to play in it all. They're manipulating to the best of their ability, but they're all, you know, there's factions and cults and clans and bloodlines and brotherhoods within it all. So it's not a unified us and them. Everything's fragmented. But the matrix itself, the thing that consciousness is trapped in, is organically evolving itself, and so we'll generate scenarios, we'll spawn thought forms and feelings, and possess individuals from the inside through your cellular structure, through your DNA. Remember in the film The Matrix how Morpheus was telling Neo that anyone who hadn't freed their mind was potentially an agent. And you'd see Neo running away from the agents, and they looked like they got away, and there'd be some like random bum sleeping in the subway or whatever, and then suddenly an agent would appear in him. Well, that's the Matrix, you see. So anyone that is hacked, programmed, conditioned according to the technological, machine, competitive, ego-based, body-conscious sense of self is hackable, possessable by the matrix, the spirit of the matrix itself, which is evil. If you want to use a religious terminology, this is the devil's world, and the matrix is evil. The divine matrix is God's creation, but it's not a three-dimensional creation. It doesn't have the same limitations, the physiological laws of physics that govern it, you see. One of the bridges into awakening is so-called sacred geometry. The sacred geometry enthusiasts have found this design, this blueprint, this perfect template, Fibonacci spirals and phi ratios and golden mean triangles and pyramids and star tetrahedrons and all of this stuff. And they're holding this up as if it's some kind of savior in and of itself, that if we just focus on this stuff, somehow we'll awaken into higher beings of higher consciousness. But what they're looking at is the blueprint of the matrix. They're looking at the plans of the prison. That's all it is. Spirit is boundless and free, formless, and doesn't require structure. So all structure is, in a sense, limitation, and depending on the emotional charge and the how strongly the ego is reinforced, an absolute prison. We'll take a break.